Grace, mercy, and peace to you and to everyone that you love. I want to share with you a few words from a letter that St. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, chapter 5, and then talk a little bit about that and how it fits into our daily lives. Here's what Paul wrote. Since we have been made one with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through his Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. One of the things that seems pretty obvious in much of what goes on around us is that we are people who are obsessed with suffering and fairness. I mean, it's a favorite sport of every time and every place. How often has someone said, and maybe even you or me, why must she suffer so much? She is so good. She doesn't deserve that. And how many times have you heard, and maybe even said, well, I hope he suffers, because what he did was just terrible. Doesn't it seem as if we relate suffering in terms of what is deserved or what isn't? Suffering isn't ever fair unless we decide it is. Oh, how we try to make sense out of suffering as much as we seek to avoid it. No one really wants to suffer. That's true for everyone. It always has been true. And often any suffering around us makes us really uncomfortable. And so we ask those questions. Does God cause suffering? And if he doesn't, why does God allow it? I mean, those are the questions that are foremost in the minds of people struggling with the illness of a loved one or an impending loss of a job or the way a neighbor or friend is treated. Some suffering is logical and preventable. I mean, we know if you put your hand in a flame, it's going to burn. You can avoid that kind of suffering if you try. But much suffering isn't logical. And much suffering is unpreventable, such as dealing with the loss of a child, or having to deal with arrogant and selfish, imperfect people. The Bible begins right after creation in dealing with suffering and fairness. That account in Genesis of a serpent in the garden teaches us that all suffering is a symptom of our separation from God. And that brokenness is what Jesus has come to heal. That's the good news. And so from the beginning of our salvation history, God's concern is not that we wrestle with why is there suffering, because there is suffering. Instead, he wants us to see how he has set out to heal the brokenness, bring peace to conflict, and restore the glory of the creation that has been lost. The good news is that Jesus is the ultimate first responder to the suffering and pain of every one of God's children. His life on earth was about embracing every broken moment of suffering the world has to endure. He dealt with hunger, anger, and rage. He dealt with lepers, the lame, and the blind. He dealt with dinner guests who were outcasts. And he carried our pain and every ounce of bloody suffering that anyone has ever encountered onto the tree of death so that he could make his suffering the beginning of our new life. Jesus' physical life on earth was very simple. He came to join us and suffer as we all suffer. He was really hungry. He was really thirsty. He was really beaten. He was really bloodied. He was really misunderstood. He was really ignored. And he even died a real earthly death. Jesus came to embrace everything that we must face, all that unfair suffering, so that on Easter morning, he could change the narrative. And so the real issue then became not why must there be suffering, but how do we respond to it? What do we do with it? That's what St. Paul was thinking about as he wrote from prison, the words that we heard a few minutes ago, and said that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope will not allow us to ever be trapped in shame. Think about the power of that promise that kept Paul going. I mean, who would ever imagine suffering as a gift that somehow transforms into hope? Yet Paul reminds us that by faith, every moment of life, whether it's a time of blessing or even suffering, is changed through Jesus' love into faith and hope and love. Pastor Tim Keller, who wrote many, many wonderful books, talked about the 23rd Psalm. He said, in that psalm, there's no promise to believers of being exempt from trouble. God doesn't say, if you go through the dark valley. He says, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death. The promise is not that he will remove us from the experience of suffering. No. The promise is that God will be with us, walking beside us in that suffering. Think about how refreshing that is. Life is never going to be perfect. No, that's not fair, but it's true. Life will keep breaking down in one way or another. But Jesus' love is perfect and forever, and will keep lifting, loving, healing, and filling us with peace, especially when we suffer. In the Gospel of John, there's a whole chapter in John chapter 4 of the same thoughts. There's a story about a woman that Jesus met at a well, an outcast from her village. It's a great story about how the struggle of servant love makes a difference. This Samaritan woman, a foreigner, had suffered from 5 failed marriages, the scandal of a live-in boyfriend. She had to lug her buckets of water, not in the cool of morning, but in the heat of high noon, because she was an outcast from the other women of the village. They would not be seen from her. They would not let her walk with them to the well. She had to wait. She was always alone. She was a foreigner. And one day, alone at the well, she bumped into Jesus. You can read the story in John chapter 4. It's amazing. In her blessed encounter with Jesus, he didn't promise that her struggles would end, but he said he would refresh her with living water to fill her soul, to heal her spirit. And because she had been dragged so low, better than most, she would probably rejoice even more in the new life that he offered with this fresh drink of forgiving love. And this woman at the well, whom nobody wanted to be with, would see her life changed. And like shepherds at the manger, and later disciples at an empty tomb, what did she do? She ran back to her village, joyfully sharing the new life that emerged from her suffering and the struggles of her past. Her suffering empowered her faith. Why must anyone suffer? That's the eternal question. But the bigger one is, well, why must Christians suffer? We deserve it less than anyone else. We shouldn't suffer, right? Well, it isn't that anyone must suffer, but all will. You know, suffering sometimes is a result of the struggle with God and others. And sometimes we do deserve the pain that we have caused. But usually suffering isn't a punishment. It's a symptom of the broken condition called sin. And Paul reminds us the real issue is not to struggle with why do we suffer, but how are we going to deal with the facts of life? You know, in that story of Jesus and the woman at the well, he promised her living water. Water that really had life in it. Well, what John was talking about, what Jesus meant, was that he brings a gift so that we are never spiritually dehydrated. Again, the very first miracle in John's gospel had to do with water. When empty jugs were filled at a wedding feast and turned into wine, and the very last moment, the very last miracle at Jesus' death, at the crucifixion, John said that a spear was put in his side and water ran out. In other words, by his wounds, we are healed. His suffering brings us life. His suffering made us whole. And in our suffering, we understand God's love for us. It is in our suffering we understand that we are not alone. And what a love that is. To see the pains that God goes through to keep us close to Him. Why do Christians suffer? Why does anyone suffer? The reality of life is that it's broken, it's not perfect, and the hideous nature of what we call sin brings suffering to all. What is more important is what we do when suffering intrudes. This is where the power of faith shines. And the strength that comes only from God can lift us up. That is what it means to drink from a well of living water. As Christ gives us the power to endure, and when we endure, we live with hope. At the same time, it's in suffering that we most clearly understand the power of Christ's love. That's why Paul talked about boasting in his own suffering. Not because we suffer, but because Christ's love is stronger than any suffering. The boast is not about me, but about what Christ is doing in me. When there's no suffering, it's easy to take faith for granted or assume that we deserve to be happy and healthy and free. But when suffering comes, there's a different kind of joy that comes from knowing God is with us always. Here's a story I ran across that I think fits in really well with what we've been talking about. It was an article about nature. Now, I've seen eagle nests, but never close up. But here's what this story shared about an eagle's nest. When a mother eagle builds her nest, she starts with thorns, broken branches, sharp rocks, and other items that seem entirely unsuitable for a nest. But then she lines that nest with a thick padding of wool and feathers and fur from animals she's killed and making it soft and comfortable for the eggs. All is well and good. And when the eggs hatch, no baby eagle worth its salt would ever want to give up such a wonderful nest. But a time comes when the growing birds reach flying age, and the comfort of the nest and the luxury of free meals makes them reluctant to leave. Well, then the mother eagle does something very interesting. She stirs up the nest. With her talons, she pulls up the thick carpet of fur and feathers and throws it to the ground, bringing up the sharp rocks and branches. And as more of the bedding gets plucked up, the nest becomes even more uncomfortable for the young eagles. Eventually, this and the other urgings prompt them to leave their once comfortable abode and move on to a more mature behavior. You get it? Our problem is we often forget God's love when things are cozy. And with God not on our radar, we get confused when we bump into suffering and pain, which of course we don't deserve. But what if we understand those words about that Paul shared about suffering and see suffering as stirring up the nest and a reminder that it is just such a time when the flight of faith is most reassuring? What a blessed assurance it is to know that when the nest isn't comfy, God is waiting for us to leap into his arms, which in reality have been caring for us all along. You know, Jesus helped that woman at the well to understand that same thing long before Paul wrote his words about suffering. Trouble produces endurance. Endurance brings God's approval. His approval creates hope, and this hope does not disappoint us. And so whether I suffer or not, God is one with me. And no matter what, I celebrate the wind beneath my wings and the living water that never leaves me thirsty again. Yeah, we're going to suffer, but in faith, we will grow and endure.